The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we honor you this evening. We open up ourselves to the move of your spirit, the flow of your spirit. We will be changed. We will be transformed. We ask that there be a move of your spirit in us, through us, and amongst us. Let expectations be met tonight. You said to me it will be a fire night, Holy Ghost fire night. Let your fire be evident here. Let it rise oppressed upon us. Let it rise from within us. Let it change our stories forever. In Jesus' name. Good evening, everyone. Have your seat. Glory to God. Our God is good. Okay, so let's just start very calmly tonight. Okay, but I hope you are expecting something. So, by way of announcement, service tomorrow will be double services. So, you just have to choose one. The first service is 7:30 a.m. The second one is 10 a.m. So, some of you that are traveling far, it might be good you come for the first service, okay, so that tomorrow is Easter, Abby, so that you can quickly go home and enjoy your Easter. Do you understand? But then whichever one you come, we bless you tremendously. We are doing that because, of course, you can see how jam-packed this place is. And normally on Sundays, we are going to have some more people come. It happens every year. So most times our numbers skyrockets on Sunday. Sometimes it goes from 8, sometimes to 15 on Sunday. Do you understand? So if we don't have two services, I'm just explaining to you why we have to build our spiritual hub very soon. If we don't have two services, if we have one service here tomorrow, you might be standing outside. Do you understand? So it will be two services tomorrow. But not to worry, both will be power-packed. Do you understand? Both will be power-packed. It will be a great, great time in God's presence. Are you following me? It will be a good time in God's presence. And I said I was going to be praying for everyone that has given to us Supernatural Hub in this meeting. And let me say this, Supernatural Hub will be a reality this year. Amen. Amen. And the Lord is working it out for us. Yes, the toughest part, this project is divided into three phases. The phase one is the property land acquisition, property acquisition. The second phase is the building. The third phase is setting up of the structure of the church. The toughest part phase is this one we are in now, the acquisition of the property. And we are crushing it already. Are you following me? So once the property drops, because we already have a land that we are going for. Are you getting the point? Once the property drops, everything will take off. The building will come in a flash. And let me tell you why you have to be excited. Whenever I talk like this, what it means is God will put money in your hands. Have you observed? I have not talked about this project online. You follow me on Facebook, right? I've never said it online. What that simply tells you is that every single dime that has been coming in for this project is coming from within here. You get the point? Because if we had put it online, maybe somebody's heart could be steered to bring the money. God can do that, but God has not led me to do that. And so when we want to raise 300 million, and it is definitely going to come from within us, it means someone should know that God will pass that money through him. That's what it means. And I've prayed and I'm praying that God will use this supernatural hope project to shoot your finance high. Amen. I'm praying. Such that, you know, by the virtue of this project, he will give more money into your hands. You know, have your seat, I'm coming. I'm still praying for you. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, if you read with the New Living Translation, he said, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few crops, a few seeds, will get a small crop. The one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Verse 8, he now says, God will generously provide all you need. So look at how God does it. God provides all you need. Then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So whenever we are trusting for a project, this is what I'm trusting that God will do. That he will provide all you need and give you so much surplus. I guess what I'm talking about. Now look at verse 9. Verse 9, as Jesus said, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good is to remember forever. Continue. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. Watch. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. And then produce a great harvest of generosity. So you see what God does? It's like a cycle. He increases your resources. Then leads you to become generous. Then you become generous. That's you give it out. He will increase you. So it's a continuous cycle. Supply, generosity, supply, generosity. I get the point. He supplies. He puts generosity in you. You give. So that's why you find that people that give always have. Because that's how the cycle works. God provides. And why does he provide? He is providing so that you can give. So every time you give what God has given you to give, right? You've fulfilled the purpose of that money that came into your hands. But by so doing, the door is open for more to come in. Are you following me? Some of you are giving and might have to give sacrificially for this project. And it's okay. The only thing I don't encourage people to do where they want to give sacrificially is my personal belief. I don't encourage people to borrow to give. I don't teach that. Okay? Because borrowing is not even in the ultimate plan of God for the believer. I'm not saying people that borrow are going to hell or you're sinning, right? But it's not the perfect will of God for you to borrow. So you cannot walk in disobedience to walk in obedience. I get what I'm saying? But apart from borrowing, of course, and stealing and other stupid things, the Bible teaches that when it's time to give sacrificially, for instance, in the book of Acts, people were selling their lands. Right? So if I want to give for spiritual help and I have to touch my savings or give my 3 months salary and struggle around that period a little, it is worth it. What happens is God has provided, you've become generous, and there will be another harvest, there will be another supply. That cycle continues. He said, God is the one who provides seed for the farmer. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources, then produce a greater source of generosity in you. Now, verse 11, he said, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. So, why does God enrich us in every way? So that we can be generous. Now, hear this. If you are getting money and you are not giving that money, you are not fulfilling the purpose for which God gave you that money. Because the purpose of wealth is generosity. I'm showing you in the Bible. God will enrich you. So, there is, you know, say God doesn't enrich people. That's not correct. The Bible is like, it doesn't teach that. God makes people rich. But then the reason is that they can give it. Are you following me? He said, and then, because in this particular case we are discussing, they were raising money for the brethren in Jerusalem. So he now told them, when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Now, let's see what this giving will do for them. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. What is the first thing? The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So the first reason is that needs will be met. For instance, what is the first thing giving of spiritual project will do for you? The project will be a success. That's the first lesson. I get what I'm saying. And then we'll be thanking God. Thank God though. And why are we thanking God? We are thanking God for what you give. So Paul says that's the first good thing that will happen. The fact that your money will accomplish a purpose and people will thank God for it. And before we even get to the second part, for me, this is a very big blessing. Don't you think so? That my money can serve for something more than putting food in my mouth. That my money can serve for something more than giving me clothes to wear. That my money can have eternal relevance. You know, money is perishable. Money does not have eternal. Money is earthly. It ends here. But there is a way you can use your money. Your money will have eternal relevance. How? If you use your money, for instance, to sponsor the preaching of the gospel, and someone gets saved because a crusade was organized with the money that you gave, that money that is earthly has worked as an eternal thing. Do you follow what I'm saying now? It's something to be grateful for. So Paul said that's the first good thing that will happen. And then verse 13, he said, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers. We prove that your obedience to the good news. So your giving proves that your obedience to the gospel. Right? Now, verse 14, let's see the second good thing that will happen. What's the second good thing that will happen when you give? They will pray for you with deep affection. And so the second blessing of giving. So when people say, if you give, nothing happens, that's not correct. Paul is showing us something will happen. Because giving will provoke affection, because you are dealing with human beings. And Paul is saying, when they pray for you with that deep affection, like you give, Pastor, I just sent my first 10 million naira for Spiritual Hub. It gets every pastor excited. And the natural thing that he's going to say is, God bless you. Why is it different? He's praying with deep affection. And you know, faith is of the heart. Prayer begins from the heart. So because that your giving hits him deeply, he's saying the God bless you is not just waste. He's saying it carries weight. That's why I believe that giving is not a waste. We're not wasting our money when we give. Are you following me? And I've taught you this. Giving, you know, I know people fight this idea of calling money a seed. They fight it and all of that. But then, because people have bastardized the use of things, doesn't mean it's not correct. Check your Bible. Many times in the Bible, giving is referred to as seed. Many times. Not even in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And look at what I believe. If I see my money, my giving as seed, and I'm teaching you something, and they've been saying it since they've been taking offering here. If I see my money as seed, I don't give and let it go. I don't do that. Because you do not plant your maize in the ground and walk away. When you plant your maize, what do? You come back, you weed it, you water it, you watch it till it grows. When I give, I follow up my giving with my words. What am I trying to achieve by my words? That this giving, this generosity, will produce more resources to the end that I'll be generous again. Let me say this to you. If God doesn't supply when we give, then generosity cannot be sustained. I get what I'm saying? If I give 1 million naira and there is nothing that comes back, how will I be able to give 1 million again? So if you say that when people give, they get nothing, how will they be able to give next time? I get what I'm talking about? The cycle is this. You trust God. He gives you supply. You receive the supply. You give it. What do you do again? You trust him again. He brings another supply. You give it. You trust him again. It's a cycle of faith, receiving, giving, faith, receiving, giving. So when you give for spiritual hope, as you give, keep declaring. Your declaration is simple. I'm receiving much more. to the end that I will give much more. I'm receiving more so that I can give more. Every time I give, you know, most, like I've said, if I give like 10 million naira for a project, I always, one of my declarations is, Father, this will be my lowest that I will have to give for a big project like this. What is the meaning of that statement? It means by the next time we want to give a big project, I should have had more than 10 million naira to give. So when you give, follow it with your mouth. Water the seed. Are you following me, friends? Water the seed. Weed it. Watch it. Protect it. It will bear results. So when I pray for you, don't just take those words and go. Let your words follow your seed. Declare again that I'm having much more. And let me say this to you. You know, I've not had my teaching. It's not even my teaching at all. But I just sense the Lord as I state these things. I've studied prosperity. I've studied abundance. And I've told you how I study my Bible. If I want to study my Bible, I don't study my Bible with any preconceived ideas. I don't do that. I try not to do that. Because before now, I had this, I was exposed to a certain stream of teaching that made it look like two things. God doesn't prosper people. If you want to prosper, just go and work hard. Secondly, God cannot bless you because you gave. And I didn't have any issue with that. Until a few years ago when the Lord said, study prosperity. You know the story, right? In my studying of that prosperity, of course, I was studying without any preconceived whatever. I was just reading it. I found out that there is hardly any place you see big supply in the Bible. I'm not saying that it's done. There is hardly any without seeing an act of faith that preceded it. Most times, that act of faith is giving. Are you following me? There is hardly any, even Jesus' miracles of provision, there is hardly any place. Now, it's not because God wants your money before he will bless you. That's not correct. That's heretical. But then you cannot also get to the other extreme. I've warned you against extremes, right? You know, sometime I did a teaching on common extremes in Bible study or something. You can't get to any extremes. But that's the problem. We drive to this end. One person is saying, before God blesses you, you have to give him money. And you say that is wrong. Well, that is actually wrong. But then you get to the other extreme and say, God doesn't even bless people at all. Yeah, now in problem. You're now in trouble. Now, what is the balance to it? God blesses us. Right? He doesn't need our money to bless us. The only thing we need to bring to receive from God is faith. Is that correct? And faith, I've taught you, is expressed first in the heart, second with words, third with action. Do you remember this? I want to receive my healing. What's the first thing? I believe in my heart that God can heal. I begin to declare, if I touched the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Thirdly, I touch. How did Peter heal that crippled man? Peter told him, silver or gold I do not have, such as I have I give unto you. Peter put faith in him. Then after Peter prayed for him, Peter made him to act on the word. Peter gave him his hand and drew him up. So that's how faith works. Now bring it to giving, to money, to prosperity. How do I exercise faith for prosperity? One, I must believe right in my heart that God prospers. I must say it with my mouth. I must take an action of faith. Most times, not a general rule, but most times, that action is giving. Because if you have 10,000 naira and you claim you are believing God to give you 1 million, if you really claim you believe God, it shouldn't be hard to give out that money you have. The reason it is hard to give out that money you have, you are feeling like, if I give it, I thought if another one does not come, you are in doubt. So you see, that's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. He said, charge them that are rich in this world. Do you remember that? Now, please follow this because you are learned. So you want to see the flow. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So what is Paul teaching? What is the general truth Paul is teaching in this verse? Look at it very closely. What is he saying? Talk to me. What is he teaching? Don't trust in money. Trust in God. General truth, Abi. Don't trust in money. Trust in God, right? Right. Next verse.
that they do good. So when he says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they are ready to distribute, willing to communicate, what is he teaching? How to express your trust in God. So when you have money, how do you show that you trust God for your finances, that you can give it? So when you cannot give it, you are simply expressing that you cannot trust God. And so that is the connection between giving and receiving. Because giving is a way you release your faith. And every time faith is released, there'll be an action, there'll be a receiving. I'm saying this to say that as you're giving for supernatural hope, trust God, there'll be an increase. Are you following me? There'll be an increase. And let me say this to you. Stop waiting for... Now, I was explaining this to the leaders. There are different kinds of giving you find in the scriptures. For instance, there is a giving where the Bible teaches that you give as God has prospered you. That's 1 Corinthians 16. How did he explain that? He said that on the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a portion. That's like your partnership. Some churches call it tithe. Such that every month you set aside a particular portion. It's a particular, you set aside, you know, I'll be giving 10% or 15%. That is that kind of giving. But there's another kind of giving we see in the book of Acts, where the believers, we are not setting aside a portion, they were actually going out of their way to give. In that case, you see believers selling their land. You see believers selling their houses. You find that kind of giving also in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 2, when the Bible tells us that the church in Macedonia gave from in deep poverty. So when the Bible said they gave in deep poverty, it means they were not giving as God prospered them. Poverty means they did not have. Are you following me at all? But they were giving. That means they stretched themselves out of the ordinary. That is the kind of giving supernatural hope is. Such that you should not be waiting till I get all the money, I will now give. No, stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. I know people here that have told me, for this supernatural hope, I'm giving in the next 4 months my salary every month. That's the kind of giving. God will reward. There will be a replenishing. I guess what I'm talking about. Are you guys alive this evening? There will be. And I've seen that happen many times. Are you following me? There will be a replenishing. There will be a supply. And don't bother. I'm not teaching this because I'm about to collect seed. I don't do that. I don't teach giving because I want to collect. I want people to give. I don't do that. Because if you teach giving because you want to raise money all the time, you are not raising people that have character. You are raising people who are just responding to things. I want you to understand what you are doing. I follow what I'm saying. When you give that kind of giving, when you spend your money, go out of your way, give sometimes out of what you don't even have. The Bible says there will be a supply. And I'm telling you, there will be a supply. There will be. Turn this anyhow you want to turn it. Do your exercise anyhow you want to do it. But it is not surprising that the time that God appeared to Solomon to tell him, ask me whatever you want to ask me, anything you want, was after he gave that sacrifice. However you want to turn it, turn it. But there is something there. Are you what I'm saying? Now, look at the thing. I was saying it before. Do you know that in church, this is not a ministry class, but do you know that in church, the Bible actually encourages, and I've tried to teach that a few times, that people that will serve in church should be able to part with their money. In fact, anybody that is stingy as a believer cannot be a Christian leader. Because being a Christian leader is about sacrifice. I get what I'm saying? The question somebody will now ask is, how do we now know people who are stingy and people who are not? That's why a pastor's eye must also be in the giving of the church. It's not just because he likes money. It is because it helps him know the heart of the people. Sir, how does money reveal people's hearts? Where a man's heart is, there his treasure will be. Does it mean that everybody that is giving, his heart is right? No. You can actually give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can give in church without loving God. Yes, you can give because you want the church to notice you. You want us to like you. You want to give to deceive the pastor. Yes, that is that part. But you cannot claim to really love God and His church and you don't give. It's not possible. It's not possible. This is another opportunity for us to stretch it. Are you following me, friends? To stretch it. Stretch your faith. Believe God that through your hands, 1 million can pass. Not just stay in your account, it can pass to the work of God. Are you following what I'm saying now? Believe God that through your hands, 10 million can pass. Yes. Yes. I have many testimonies about it, just that I don't want to go into that. I have many people here. When we had our partner's breakfast 2 months ago, we gave chance. I told people, okay, if you know that you have given money in this place, and you trusted God after the giving, and there was big supply, come and testify. A lot of people were out. How many of you are there? Partner's breakfast. Yeah. A lot of people. You see people who will tell you, I wanted to do this. All I had was 1 million. And I just told the Lord, I'm going to give a part of this. And I gave it. And I began to trust God in less than 1 month. That money multiplied. There are many stories like that. What principle do you think Elijah was trying to teach that woman? When the woman said, I don't have anything, I just have this small oil. Elijah said, was it oil or flour? Flour, that's Elijah. Elijah said, wait, go and bring my own first. Make bread for me. I thought Elijah would have said, you don't have enough chai. Yeah, or yeah, just go. Elijah said, go and make my own first. He said, when you make for me, make for you and your child. That flour will not run dry. Doesn't make any logical sense. This is the last thing I have. I thought you'd have said I should manage it well. And thank God that woman obeyed, because that thing was small anyway. There was no way she would have managed it till the famine was over. Are you following what I'm talking about? When you decide to give and the Lord stirs it in your heart, do it. It's not as though if you keep that money, it's going to make you a billionaire. Are you following me? How many of you, apart from that, I'm saying this, you've seen the manifold hand of God in that you gave money at a time, you gave seed, you trusted God, and you saw big supply. Let me see your hand at any time in your life. Yeah. It's not a fluke. And I can tell you myself, if I begin to tell you our story, I mean as a family, we have many stories like that. You know, people normally think that we don't ever stay without money. Sometimes we are. Sometimes you are totally out of cash, like totally. And most times it's because, in fact, there was a particular month this year that we had, my wife and I had given, not just in church, but God kept telling people, give this one, give this one. By the time we did the last giving, there was nothing, down to nothing. Yet, nobody was complaining. You know why? We have seen it work many times. Once you are walking in obedience to God, there will be a supply. Many times. And I thank God all the time for the kind of wife I have. For real. There are some stories I cannot even tell you, but thank God. So I just said, babe, God said, I want us to give this thing. Like this particular one that we are on now. When I told her, I said, God said we should give this thing. He said, this one hard though. I said, fine, just take your time, pray, come around anytime. You know, as a husband, you should know how to lead your wife. I get on point. Don't be saying, God said I should give it, whether I like it or not. Is it better for me to obey God or to obey man? Do you understand the point? Everything is not fight. Because you guys are giving as a family, there must be agreement. Just like you have a piece of land and God said we should sell the land and give to church. You don't just come and tell your wife, I'm selling the land now, I'm giving it to church, whether you like it or not, church is going to have it. Why are you there when I bought it? Why are you there when I bought it? I bought it for a married. Do you understand? So she just said, okay. She said okay the first day I said it. But then that's okay. I know it was coming from a place of obedience, submission. Okay, sir, anything you say. So I said, just take your time and pray. So after like 2 days or so, I came back. She said, "When are we even doing that stuff?" I said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Yes, yes, yes. I think I have peace about that. Let's do it already." We've seen that. I'm talking about, if I tell you the details of this thing I'm talking about, your jaw will drop. How can they do that kind of stupid thing? But I know God doesn't call us to reduce us. God doesn't instruct us to make us smaller. Every time I've obeyed an instruction of God, I always became bigger. Are you following what I'm talking about? Are you following me this evening? You get bigger. You get better. So this is to encourage you and to assure you that in this project, God will make you 10 times more. No, you missed that. It will come again. I don't know when it's come again, but it will come again. Are you following me? You have to get your heart set. Get your heart set. This project, God will make you 10 times more.
Amen.
He will. And take note of the things I'm saying. So that when you do your giving, you will hold it and go to the place of prayer and say, "Father, 10 times more. 10 times more. 10 times more. 10 times more." I'm already feeling that flow open up, and I think there's a time I'm going to pray for everyone that has given for this project. 10 times more. 10 times more. Believe God for that. 10 times more. You will not be smaller. You cannot finish walking in obedience to God and you become smaller than you were before you started. No, you will be better than you were before you started. You'll be better. May the Lord give you of the dew of the heavens and of the fatness of the earth. May wherever land you are yield her increase to you. May the Lord open the resources of heaven to come to you. In the name of Jesus. May my God bless you. May He increase you financially. May He position you where the wealth of the nations are. I just get on the spirit. May He position you where the wealth of your industry is. May He position you where the wealth of your industry is. In the name of Jesus. May you find the land to break a deal where the supply is. May you find where the oil is. May you find where the flow is. By this giving, may doors open up. The places where there is supply that you've been ignoring, suddenly you will notice those places now. In the name of Jesus, I'm hearing it. May you find where the wealth of your industry is. Whatever profession you are into, the Lord is positioning you strategically to find where the supply is. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So you will find where the supply is. The cattle upon 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. Silver of gold and mine, says the Lord. May you find what you are looking for. In the name of Jesus. I'm praying for divine positioning. I'm praying for divine strategic positioning. You will stand where you must stand. Where the wealth is, that's where you will be found. You will somehow find yourself in that office where it is flowing. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will make you a sign and a wonder. In your field, in the name of Jesus. The Lord will stand you out in your field. May the blessings of the Lord that has caused us to prosper here, may the blessing that is growing spiritual hub, may that same blessing begin to work in your life. And as this project hits the ground, may the grace for property ownership find its way to you. May the grace for multiple property ownership find its way to you. In the name of Jesus. May the earth yield her increase to you. May the earth yield her increase to you. May the earth yield her increase to you. In the name of Jesus. And many of us that still have not completed and all of that, between now and the next few weeks, let there be a rush. Let there be a rush of supply that will birth mighty generosity in the name of Jesus. May the zeal of the Lord perform this. I just said that. May the zeal of the Lord perform this. What that means as it's coming to my spirit is that it will be hastened up. It will be hastened up. It will be hastened up. In the name of Jesus. Tacoma. Zebara. Dia. Some of you, God has been leading you to do a certain, to give and to do something, to part with certain things, but you've been afraid. You've been scared. Be confident. Be encouraged. The Bible said if you cast your bread upon many waters, you'll find it after many days. And glory to God, when we are giving to God, we're not throwing our money away. Much more is coming. May supply find its way to you. By the time we've entered supernatural hub, we will not only testify of how we built that house, we will testify of how all of us have become better in the process. How we became richer in the process. How we became mightier in the process. How we became more prosperous in the process. In the name of Jesus. The increase has come. The supply has come. The growth has come. And the zeal of the Lord has performed this. In the name of Jesus. And as a church, we declare 2025, our supernatural hope is here. In the name of Jesus. We bring that project to reality. In the name of Jesus. By the time we are done, by the time God is done, people will come around and all they can say is, this must be God. This must be God. This must be God. One that was praying and I was just asking myself, whatever gave you the mind that you guys could do this? Whatever gave me the mind will make it happen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of you have given. Some of you the Lord needs to give bigger. Do it. And let me tell you, don't postpone the giving. Let me tell you why you don't postpone your giving. Spiritual hope is a project that has a timeline. That's deadline. So it's not like you want to, when I get it, I will give. No. Let's all do it at the same time. Within the same time frame. Are you following what I'm saying? Same time frame. And the devil and his friends will be put to shame. Hallelujah. The devil and his family members will be put to shame. When we enter the natural hub at Zoe. Oh, glory to God. We will sing, we will dance. But one of our greatest joy will be, thank God I was able to give to make this a reality. Thank God my money is in this roof. Thank God my money is in this foundation. Thank God my money is in the... I get what I'm talking about. And the seal of God will perform it. It's our year. And we're already getting blessed. Did you receive those words?
Yes, sir.
Did you receive those words?
Yes, sir.
Now, what do you do next? Go. Now, that is number one. You rejoice to it. But don't stop at that. Take it home. War with it. Hold on to it. Return with the result of these words. Return with the result of these words. I can imagine when you carry your mic to testify. You know, I just got a new land. And I'll be happy that you're going to say, it was after I gave for that spiritual hub project that I bought this land. It was after I gave for that project that I bought this car. No, the ways of God are just so wow. In the world system, they say if you want to have money, you work hard, save, invest. God said, the generous. How can giving bring getting? Is the wisdom of God. And we will see it in that, we will experience that reality. In the name of Jesus. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? That's the first dose of the blessing tonight. Can we rejoice to that this evening? Glory! Glory to God. God bless you. Have your seat. Amen. The promised land. That's where we are. Glory to God. If you have not been here from the first day, I cannot help you. There's a lot that have been said, right? How many of you are here from Thursday? From Thursday. Describe Resurfact in one word. Say hallelujah is the description. What? Tell your neighbor, Resurfact in one word. Glory to God. It has been revelation filled. It's been light full. I can say that myself. So that as I'm teaching on stage, I can sense utterance wear me like clothes, literally. And I can tell you something. Half of what I've said in this series of facts are not in my notes. Half of what I have in my notes I've not said. That's the power of utterance. It's not hidden. You can come and check it. You will not see nothing. Most of the things is just, and when it comes, when the Lord drops it in my spirit, it's like he drops a note. And as I mentioned the scriptures one by one, you'll be wondering, you know the short teaching I gave you now, it's not in my notes. It's not anywhere. And as I'm giving the scriptures one by one, you wonder, did you prepare it before? No. It's all trance. We've had a good meeting. That is to say to you that if you have not been here from the first day, I cannot help you. There is no amount of recap I do now that you can catch up. Where do I start recapping? Is it from the first night? No, we can't do that. But then let's see how we can help you this night. Amen. The promised land, the whole essence of this teaching is that the promised land is not Canaan. That's the whole essence. Second essence of this point is that the Israelites did not enter the promised land. Now, if you are confused at this point, that's why I say I cannot help you. But even attempting to help you is dealing with you the more. They didn't enter the promised land. They entered a physical place called Canaan, but the real promise that God made to them was a spiritual reality, not a physical thing. And so when God was telling Abraham, because he started with Abraham, when God was telling him, I will show you a city. Leave your father's house and I will show you a land. The Bible said, even Abraham got there physically. Writer of Hebrews said, he got there, but he was still looking for a city. Because he knew that city that he had settled in was not what God wanted to give him. He knew it. One of the things God never rejected, he was never scared. But because before the devil started, the work was finished. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So God rested. That rest is what he wants to bring us into, or what he has brought us into. And in the morning we're looking at the fact that that rest implies that we can now rest and serve God. No longer fear of hell, fear of demons, fear of going to hell, fear of God rejecting you. You can rest. No longer fear of eternal damnation. What if I just die now and perish? What if God wake up tomorrow and say, I no longer know you? God wants you to have that rest. Not a life of uncertainty. God wants you to know that you are accepted. And I gave an example in the day. Imagine getting married to someone and the person says to you, well, I love you. I'm going to marry you. But please, I want you to know that any day you misbehave, this marriage is over. Will you be relaxed in that marriage? No. And that's not what God wants us to have. God doesn't want us to live in fear all the time, thinking, will God throw me away? He wants you to rest. So give me that Matthew 11:28 with message. Message said, Jesus said, are you tired? Are you following me? Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. Do you remember this place, right? Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. So God is inviting us to real rest. And I told you, for instance, Jesus was doing this teaching, standing in the land of Israel. which is the promised land that they thought God had for them. And he was telling them, I want to give you real rest. You don't get it. By the time Joseph was talking, they were already in the promised land, physically speaking, right? They were living in that land of Canaan. But Jesus told them, I want to give you real rest. Telling them that this thing you have now is not rest. Are you following me? Now verse 29. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced redeems of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Verse 30. He said, keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Let me ask you a question. In spending time in God's presence this weekend, have you learned how to live freely and lightly? That's the promise. You learn how to live life with assurance. Like, you know, even if we talk about physical needs. Do you know, if you understand the stress we have in Christ, for instance, that he has given us his name, his authority. Even when things are going bad, economy is going down, your account is empty, people are running up and down, you are relaxing, you are resting. Why? You know that in the name of Jesus, everything will align. You know. That is rest. Jesus was traveling with them on the high sea, and things were going bad. They were shouting, he was sleeping. Why? There was something he knew. That is rest. He shoots you away from worry. All those worry of, will I go to hell? Will God accept me? Will this problem be fixed? What if I die poor? What if I die broke? What if I die unmarried? What if I die childless? If you understand all we have in Christ, you will really rest. Even from physical problem. Because you know that know how, I must rise. Are you guys get what I'm talking about? I have the name of Jesus. The day I was studying my Bible and it dawned on me that I can never be poor again in my life, I didn't have one naira that day. But I was so sure, I was shouting, I can't be small. I had nothing. No alerts. That is rest. So when people are shouting, I just smiling at them. See, it's like you have money. Say, well, I have rest. Rest. That's the real rest. Are you following me? That's the real rest. And I'm going to take off from that place to show you another rest. Another reality of this rest that we have in Christ. Isaiah 28 verse 11. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, please watch this because we're going to do a little study. Just a little study. Right? And then we get into the flow tonight. Are you ready? For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, for this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. So look at this. He says he will speak to them, right? Go to verse 11. He will speak to them with stammering lips and another tongue. He said when he does that, verse 12 now said, this is the rest. This is the rest. He said, this is the refreshing. So what do we mean by stammering lips? Stammering lips. And men of another tongue. Paul uses this same thing in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips. So what is he referring to like this now? This Isaiah that we read, right? He said, with men of other tongues and other lips, will I speak to these people? And yet for all that, they will not hear me, said the Lord. Verse 22. He said, wherefore tongues are for a sign. So what does Paul mean? Or how did Paul explain stammering lips and men of other tongues? Speaking in tongues. Are you following me? Are you following me? Go to verse 21 again. Let's read together, everybody. Uh-huh.
Now, verse 22, he now said, wherefore, what does wherefore mean? Therefore, right? Tongues are, so Paul quoted Isaiah, where Isaiah said, I will speak to these guys with stammering lips and other tongues, and said that actually, that is talking about tongues. Now, why did I take you to that? When Isaiah spoke about that in Isaiah 20, verse 11, verse 12, he now said, this is the rest. Are you following me? This is the rest and the refreshing. And the refreshing. So, Paul is speaking and explaining what Isaiah wrote and said that when Isaiah is talking about men of other tongues, he's talking about tongues. Speaking in tongues. He's talking about how that the Holy Ghost will come and give us of the Spirit and we all will begin to pray in tongues. And Isaiah said, that thing is rest. So the giving of the Spirit and the manifestation of His gifts is the rest the believer has found. Are you following what I'm talking about? Now watch this. I'll show you another place. Isaiah 32, verse 13. Isaiah 32, and verse 13. This is the rest. He said, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken. The multitude of the city shall be left. The forts of towers shall be for dense forever. A joy of wild as is a pasture of flocks. So go to verse 13. Read with NLT so they can get the flow before I get to where I'm going to. NLT, let's read together. Are you ready? Let's go. Your joyful homes and happy towns. Is that something very sweet? Continue. The palace and the city will be deserted. Busy towns will be empty. Wild donkeys will frolic. Flocks will graze in the empty forts and watch towers. So he wasn't saying something very nice to them. Now go back to King James. He now goes to verse 15. He now said, until the Spirit is saying things will keep going wrong, going this way, until there is an outpouring of the Spirit. He said, when that happens, the wilderness will be a fruitful field. The fruitful field will become a forest. Now, I'm going somewhere. Verse 16. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness. Righteousness and judgment remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Verse 18 now. He said, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. This word, resting places, is the same word Isaiah used for rest in Isaiah 28. So he's saying things will keep going wrong, but something is going to happen. The Spirit will be poured out. And after that, my people will come into their resting places. So the giving of the Spirit is described, one of the rests that we've received in Christ is the giving, the pouring of the Spirit and the ability to flow in those gifts. So what Paul is saying is, when a believer is talking in tongues, he's actually enjoying rest. Are you following me? When a believer is talking in tongues, he's actually enjoying rest. So, look at that again. The giving of the Spirit will bring the people into a resting place. Start from 15. Let's do New Living Translation. Are you ready? Let's read together. Let me tell you why I'm saying we should read together. I know you are tired of being here since Thursday, but this time you have to be strongest. Open your mouth, open your heart, open your spirit. Are you ready? Let's go together. Until at last, the Spirit is poured out on us from heaven. Then, wilderness will become a fertile field. The fertile field will yield bountiful crops. Justice will rule in the wilderness. Righteousness in the fertile field. And this righteousness will bring peace. Yes, it will bring quietness and confidence forever. Verse 18. My people will live in safety. Quietly at home, they will be at rest. What will bring that rest? until the Spirit is poured on us from on high. So one of the rests, one of the peaceful rests that we've received in Christ, and one of the is the pouring of the Spirit. The giving of the Spirit. So that's what Isaiah was saying, Isaiah 28. Now with men of stammering lips, will I speak to these guys. In verse 12, he now said, this is the rest. What does he call it? This is the refreshing. So when a believer has received of the Spirit and is flowing in that Spirit, it brings about rest and refreshing. Are you following me? Let me say something before I continue. So if you are not yet flowing with the Spirit as you should, you are missing out on the rest that we have in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? Let's see. Isaiah 11. Verse 1. I'm just on Isaiah today. Usul of Isaiah. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Who is he talking about here? He's talking about Jesus actually. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, you know, the Spirit of, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Hallelujah. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. And he kept going and going. In verse 6, he began to talk about how the wolf will dwell with the lamb. In other words, there will be peace. And then he got to verse 10. Right? He got to verse 10. He said, in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand. Well, I'm coming. We shall stand as an ensign. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Yes. You shall stand as an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So he's saying, when the Spirit will be poured upon Jesus, or which had actually happened, he said, he shall flow in this, this, and that. He said, then a lot of good things will happen because of that. He said, his rest will be glorious. Give me like an out of this verse 10. Amen. Amen. He said, in that day, the head of David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. So that land where he lives, that his resting place, will be a glorious place. And all this, the foundation of all of this, is that the Spirit shall be poured out from on high. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying all of this to say that a major rest we enjoy in the New Testament is the flow of our flow in spiritual things. So when a believer is not flowing in spiritual things, a believer does not pray in tongues, he doesn't yet know the rest, the full rest we have in Christ. When a believer cannot prophesy, he is missing out. There is a rest you begin to enjoy when the Spirit is poured out from on high. Are you following me? A major rest we have in Christ. A major rest we have in Christ, we enjoy in the New Testament, is this flow in spiritual things. In Acts 2, verse 38. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to compare two verses. So just open your ear. I thought I'm doing a little study before we go. Then Peter said unto them, do you remember this scripture? Do you? You will very soon. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive what? Talk back to me. You shall receive what? Who was saying this? Eh? Who was he talking to? The Jews he was preaching to on the day of Pentecost. Now, after this Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 3, Peter worked a miracle. And they accosted him. And he began to preach to them again. And he got to verse 19. Now, before we get to verse 19 of Acts 3, look, watch. What did he tell them? Repent, right? Be baptized. What will happen to you? Remission of sin. And then, the gift of the Holy Ghost, right? Now, Acts 3 verse 19. Peter began to preach. He said, repent and be converted. that your sins will be blotted out. When the, do you remember this now? When the times of refreshing shall come from. So what Peter was saying to these guys in Acts 2 is the same thing he's saying to these guys in Acts 3. Just that in the case of Acts 3, he replaces the gift of the Holy Spirit with times of refreshing. Do you follow what I'm saying now? In Acts 2, he told them, repent and receive remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 3, he told them, repent, receive remission of sins, and you will receive times of repression. What is Peter trying to tell us? That the gift of the Holy Ghost is the time of refreshing. So when a believer is flowing in spiritual things, he's refreshing himself. The real refresh, the real rest, is the things of the Spirit. So these times of refreshing, you know, I was checking that word refreshing. That word refreshing in the Greek is anapsuxis. My God. A-N-A-P-S-U-X-I-S. A-N-A-P-S-U-X-I-S. It means a recovery of breath. Like a breath of fresh air. So Peter is saying, when you come to the Lord, you will receive times of, you will be refreshed. You will come alive. And it will happen because the Holy Ghost will be poured out. If you want to enjoy your rest in Christ Jesus, master spiritual flows. Learn how to pray in tongues. Learn how to interpret it. Learn how to prophesy. You will see the real rest. Because many of us don't actually know. You will see the real rest. You will see the real refreshing. Before I even get into the spiritual meaning of all of this, have you observed sometimes that you can be so down and you manage to open your tongue and begin to do rebeden, 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 labreged? Does it happen to you? In 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 15 minutes, it's like something wears you. That breath of fresh air, times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. Something wears you. A believer has not known the rest we have in Christ. If he has not started engaging in spiritual flows. I wonder how people find Christianity interesting. Where they don't pray in tongues. They've never prophesied. They don't see visions. They don't hear. That's what I enjoy. You actually don't know anything about this rest. Isaiah said, things will be going bad. Go to Isaiah 32, verse 13, NLT. He said, things will be going bad. In fact, things that were working before could stop working. Your land will be overgrown with thorns. Your joyful homes and happy towns. Hey, all of us can come to this point in our journey. You know, the troubles of life comes to everybody. You can get here. Your habitats will be gone. Your palaces, in verse 14, your palaces, right, will and the city will be deserted. Your busy towns will be empty. That's the part where I'm saying, God forbid, God forbid. Yasokwagi, God forbid. But he kept saying that, and God, verse 15, he said, until at last the Spirit is poured out. In other words, when things are not working, and you stir up the Holy Ghost from within, he can set everything in motion. He can. Because, I don't know if I have time for this. He said, the Spirit will be poured out from where? Now, this day in heaven, I can never walk with heaven. He said, from on high. On high. Heaven. Wherever. What does that mean? He says, sir, don't even try to explain anything in this one. On high is heaven where God is. Okay, I agree with you. But where are we? We are here in the morning. Where are we now? We are in Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 6, where are we seated? We are seated with him. So that on high, where the Spirit is being poured out from, is where we are.
So we are one with the Spirit. So that when you see the Spirit will pull up from on high, stop thinking of stand up. Stop thinking of this guy is standing here and fire is dropping from heaven. That's not the picture. The guy is on high. That's where the Spirit is. That's where the power is. That power is in him. So the Spirit being poured out will not be something coming on top. It will be something coming from within. Because he is in on high. Now, he is there. Now, if he was here and on high is up there, then he should be waiting for something to fall like rain. But if he is here and on high is here, the pouring of the Spirit will be for him to immerse himself in it because he's there. So on high, when we say the Spirit poured from high, we're not saying the believer should begin to cry, come, Holy Ghost, come. The believer is where the Spirit is. So what we should learn is how to stir up this power from our inside. How to stir up the gift of God from your inside. That's what we should learn. He said, when that happens, the wilderness shall be a fruitful field. When I was reading this and thinking about it, I said, I think we've not really understood how much the Spirit can do. The wilderness will be a fruitful field. In other words, if things were dry, totally dry, a believer can engage the Holy Ghost and suddenly there will be life. Now, if there was small life, maybe there was a fruitful field, a believer can engage the Holy Ghost and it will become a forest. Do you want this rest? Because you are in this rest as I'm talking to you. But you have to know how to enjoy it. That's why I will hardly be done with any Christian conference I'm holding without having time to talk about the things of the Spirit. Have you observed that? It's very hard. Because I don't know how people enjoy their Christian life without that. You're a believer, you don't pray in tongues. And you are alive. How are you enjoying your Christianity? Huh? When the desert, when the beautiful home turns to desert, because it will come for all of us. He said, God forbid, I'm not wishing you bad. Have your seat. Satan will come knocking at your door many times. So how will you get out of it? When you turn to the right, everything is down. Turn to the left, everything is down. Look up, there is no help. The palaces have become a desert. Things that were working are no more working. Study is falling apart. Finance is falling apart. Health is falling apart. Nothing is working. Where will you find help from? That's when you switch to the other realm. Oh, I have a message that I titled The Best of Two Worlds. We are here and we are there. You can switch from this realm. That's why you switch to the other realm. Because if it is not working here, if I engage the other place, it will work here. So I just lock my door in my room and I begin to refresh. Times of refreshing. Henda karabando shanda. Indre deke 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 de. Umbre de chumbrataya. Elegede legada. Andre de 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 be. Roba deke deke de. Andre de 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 be de de. Idege lebara godoya. Oshige bele barataya. Andre de ge bele bara. Oro de 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 bara. Ire be 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 be. Ha! After 2 hours, you come out. Things are not looking good. You go back again. In the next time, it goes from tongues to prophecy. God has not given you a word. Maybe what you just got is as simple as everything will be fine. Have I ever sent you that everything will be fine text? Let me see. Have you ever got it from me? That's the simplest miracle I always see. Because it's not coming from my head. I'm not wishing you well. Sometimes when you are talking to me about your problem, you are talking but I'm just watching. I'm not looking at you. I'm engaging that life on the inside. When you are done, I said, don't worry, everything is going to be fine. And sometimes some of you wonder, did he not hear everything I said? I ever felt like that. In fact, the worst part is that you can finish talking to me, I'm not even replying. Why? But the end point, you will come back with a testimony. Why? Now, you know what? I'm not replying you, not because I want to snub you. I don't actually snub people. I don't snub people. But a pastor does not pastor by the will of the people. You pastor by the will of the Spirit. So soon as God just said, don't say anything, just let it be. I've worked on it. The food is I want her to learn. So just let it be. Sometimes I'll just in my own room, I could just pray for you in my own room. And then I know you are fine. And eventually you will be. Because I'm not wishing you well. I'm exerting the power that can change your world. Now that same power is resident inside of you. So when everything is collapsing, when things are not adding up anymore, you are never without help. That's the truth. You are never without help. That's why it's called refreshing. That no matter how bad it is, you can always refresh yourself. Always. Always. You are working 3 jobs, paying you well. One morning you just wake up, you lose everything. It's like the desert, the fruitful land has become a desert. The palaces have been deserted. And before you lost all the money, all the job, you gave like 2 days ago in church all your money, putting your faith on the salary of next month, and you now lose the job. And the devil begins to talk crazy in your ear. Remember Isaiah 32:15. Until the Spirit be poured on us, everything can be going wrong. But when the Spirit will be poured, go from verse 13. Let's look at it again with New Living Translation. Your land will be overgrown with thorns and briars. Your joyful homes will be and happy times will be gone. Sometimes families, and I'm saying Baron de Caladia, I'm speaking to a family where this is almost your story. The once peaceful home you had has disappeared. Everything is no longer working anymore. He said there can be those days. The money you were enjoying, you don't even have again. And verse 14, he said, the palace and the city will be deserted. Visitors will be empty. Wild donkeys will frolic. Everything is just going apart. Give me Message Bible, verse 13. Give me Message Bible. I want to drive this one because I can sense already. I can't even get into this note. He said, weep for my people's gardens and farms that grow nothing but thistles and thorn bushes. Cry tears, real tears for the happy homes, no longer happy. The merry city, no longer merry. The royal palace is deserted. The bustling city quiet as a morgue. The empty parks and playgrounds taken over by wild animals. Delighted with their new homes. And verse 15. Yes, weep and grieve until the spirits is poured on from above. In other words, keep crying. But once that spirit is released, stop the tears. That's why we don't cry carelessly. There's always an answer. That answer may not be in the flesh, it's in the spirit. There's always a way. It's not on the phone, it's not on the map, but it's your spirit. He said, once that spirit is poured out, you know, Isaiah, they were prophesying about what will happen to us in the New Testament. Today, that spirit has been poured out. All we have to do is to enjoy these benefits. We flow in the spirit. That's why, listen to me. Marakesi asunire nire. Know how to speak in tongues for long. Because sometimes that may be all you have and all you need. It will come for everybody. But we are never without help, sir. You pray until it rises from within. Sometimes you can literally feel the thing rising. You can feel it rising. Sometimes you come out with a word, just a word. Just a word. I see a man of God pray for someone, held the person's hand, big testimony. prayed and prayed and prayed after praying. The only thing he got is, you have entered. That changed that person's story. You know, I heard that in my spirit now. You have entered. That's where we find the help. You have entered. There is always a way. That way may not be in the flesh. Never in the flesh. That way may not be on the map. That way is in the spirit. By the time you look within, and you just go like that, Indra, Dobo, Shanda. Learn how to flow with the spirit. Learn how to speak in tongues. Learn how to interpret tongues. Learn how to prophesy. Learn how to see in the spirit. Learn how to hear in the spirit. Train yourself in the supernatural. That is the rest that you need. Train yourself in the supernatural. Train yourself. All these ones that are doing Holy Ghost meetings, people are praying in tongues. You are just saying, I don't care. They should just be doing their own. Let me tell you, a time may come. That may be all you need. You might be like Daniel, who has been thrown to the lions then. The door has been shut. Beside you is one lion. Beside another lion. Five lions surrounding you. At that time, English will not help. Because lions don't understand English. But there is something they understand. You can switch into tongues. When you pray and pray and pray, you can tell the lion to shut up. And the lion shuts up. He's not listening to you. Because that shut up you said came from a depth. It came from a depth. What the lion heard when you say shut up was the voice of God. He heard God saying shut up. And you know the animals, they respond to him. Listen to me. We're going to pray soon. But let me tell you, there are some of you here. The Lord is saying, you've lost your excitement and your fervency for spiritual flow. You have to get it back. I'm relating almost everything this evening to natural needs. When things are really, really bad, you have your mastery of spiritual things is what will bring you out. I'll say that again. When things go really bad, your mastery of spiritual things, mastery of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, visions, you know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, following the word witness, all those things is what will bring you out. It's what will bring you out. When you get married and you go to the hospital and they check you and your wife and they say, can I tell you, you will never have children. You are standing, you know, when they say that, they say, if like, carry your wife to India, a child is not coming because I cannot see anything in there. In that time, it is your mastery of spiritual things that will get you out. When the doctor gives you a report and say, what I'm predicting, in 5 years' time, you'll be blind. Master spiritual flow. I've seen it come through for me. Now, I've been saying this a lot this period. I've seen it come true for me. When you stand over your wife and your family and you are seeing them between life and death, master spiritual flow. Are you following me? One of the most exciting things I love doing is living my life by the Spirit. Living my life by the Spirit. Such rest. He said, weep and grieve until the Spirit is poured down on us from above. And the bad lands, desert grows crops, and the fertile fields become forests. Verse 16. Justice will move into the bad land streets. Because bad land desert, right will build a home in the fertile field. Verse 17. He said, and when there is right, there will be peace. And the progeny of rights, quiet lives and endless trust. Verse 18, I'll stop there. My people will live in a peaceful neighborhood, in safe houses, in quiet gardens. What made the difference? The pouring of the Spirit. Tonight, I'm just going to allow the Holy Ghost move through this meeting. and follow his leading. Yield to him whatever he tells me to do. But I want you to know, if you master how to flow with the Spirit, one day you remember that a certain pastor told you that if you master this, it will come through for you at different seasons of your life. It might be at the time when you are about to be duped. They've deceived you. They've washed your head. You are about to make the 50 million naira transfer. And then suddenly, that light will rise in your heart. God will begin to speak to you. Just wait. Ah, the things of the Spirit, hearing from God, it has come through many times. You heard me share this testimony the other time, how that in the course of my wife's pregnancy, or our pregnancy, with both of us, one of those days was just in the, I was in parlor. The house was full. I told this to him, you know, last time. She just came down. I said, babe, just come up. I came. And the fear, not the fear, the worry. He said, see, full bleeding. And we had gone past the time that we should be bleeding. And I knew what that meant. And as I hugged her, then we just went, in the name of Jesus, we declare wholeness. Want it to be fixed, is fixed. Want it to be repaired, is repaired. One was replaced, is replaced. We prayed. Went to the hospital. Saw the doctor. Doctor said, you said there was blood. I can't find it. There is no reason why you should be seeing blood. He said, we argued that. I said, well, I don't know. When we got to the hospital, we asked to see the most experienced in the firm. So we went there. A professor, he said, well, there's no reason why there should be blood. If there was, if you actually saw blood, then there should be problem. But I'm checking you, there is no problem. I don't know what the devil wanted to do. I don't know what he had even done that we reversed. But I know something about the Holy Ghost. That when you are in a tight corner, imagine if I don't master this thing. That's why you'll be crying. God has given. God has taken. God does not take. God gives. He will come through for you many times. Simple spiritual flow. That's why I want to say this. All this training we are giving you in church. Eh? Take it serious. I know you didn't call you on Saturday. Singing our prayer drive. And you're going to pray for 6 hours. Say, this pastor is wicked. Does he want to kill us? 6 hours prayer. Take it serious. Take it serious. Master how to flow in spiritual things. We say we're doing Holy Ghost meeting. Hold your neighbor. We might come to that tonight. Hold your neighbor. Get a word for him. He say, God is not telling me anything. Master it. You know, we're trying to train you. That's what we're doing. Apart from the fact that we're getting blessed, we're trying to train you for that day when the devil will be crazy outside your house. Are you what I'm saying? When every all hope is lost, when you've asked the experts and they're saying there is no hope, and you just stay, that calmness. Learn how God speaks to you. Learn how to hear him. Learn how to work miracles. This is the refreshing. The flow of the Spirit, that's the refreshing. Learn how to cast out devils. Learn how to prophesy. Learn how to engage the Spirit and see in the Spirit. This is the refreshing. This is the refreshing. That's the rest. Learn how to pray and interpret. Because sometimes that's all you may need. Learn how. You just pray. Shateleko. Pray Gedea. Things are so tight. Things are so tight. But you are just praying. And suddenly, you begin to hear this in your spirit. What is rising like that is a song. Father, O Lord, are a shield for me.
Glory and deliverance.
things that will happen to us this month is that God will give you a song at different seasons. And you just sing, you're just dancing. The flow of the Spirit is one of the biggest flex we have in Christianity. The fact that I can hear, I can know your thoughts, I can see the future, I can see tomorrow, I can see the plan of the devil, is a big flex. The fact that I can stand in this earth realm and say, thus says the Lord. One of the biggest flex. I brag with it. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. You know, one day recently, one of these MOT guys that hold vehicles was giving me trouble on the way for nothing. And because of the conversation, we just talk. I just looked at him. He made one call and I said, sorry, don't be offended. Is your wife in the hospital? He said, yes, my wife and my child. I said, your wife and your child is in the hospital and you're holding your solution. I flex this thing with so much joy. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, my name is Pastor Henry. Go and ask them. If I call your wife and child, they'll be out now. Say, sir, you are bragging too much with this. Will you not brag if it is you? Would you brag? The best of Christianity is seen in the spiritual flows. You will enjoy even evangelism, ministry, it becomes easier. The fact that by the time you are approaching the sinner to talk to him, God has told you two or three things about him. And that's why you notice when I preach here, if I'm preaching and I'm teaching, I don't know what I'll be doing. Have you ever felt like, did anybody tell pastor about me today? That is mighty utterance. And sometimes I actually notice literally. And that's available for all of you. Learn how to flow with the Spirit. Learn how to, apart from all the things that will happen tonight, I'm just giving you instruction. When you get home, learn how to flow with the Spirit. Engage, get friends. Tell him, tomorrow night, let us do believers meeting in our house. We'll first have 6 hours prayer or 4 hours prayer. When we are done, we'll begin to talk to ourselves by tongues and interpretation. Learn these things. Learn these things. Learn these things. Learn these things. One of the agreements I entered with God many years ago, I said, nothing can happen in my family and I'm not aware. A long time ago. That if something goes wrong and I'm not aware, it has not happened. But I can question God. I say, what's happened? Why did you tell me? And it cannot happen without me knowing. The only thing is I might be too distracted to see it, and he will sit me down and show me. And that agreement has extended even to my family now. That's my real family now. But I was jokingly telling you guys, but I wasn't joking. It's actually true. We did not know that we were pregnant through a medical test. You know, I told you guys that. We did not know because we missed no period. I was praying. Shambra. I just said, babe, how far is it? I said, you are pregnant. She said, glory. And the letter I didn't finish, just sneak out and go and buy this. He said, it's actually true. No sign. And that's what it has been. How did we get the names of our children? All our children will have the names. Praying one night, it was around 4 or 5 a.m. I went to the vision, saw them, saw the faces, saw the names, what they will bear, what they will be, is all written in my notes. You don't live a Christian. This is a spiritual journey. The best of the Christian life is with the Spirit. All this while you want to name children and you are, yeah, what's the trending name? Jaden. There's nothing wrong with that name. It's a good name. I joke with him because of the stereotype. Don't you know that when you are a parent, God has given you the first responsibility to shape your child's future. Are you not aware? By how you name him first. That's why when they name Benjamin Benoni, the father said, "You can't name my child Benoni. You can't do that." When the king's men of Zachariah gathered and said, "Let's name this young boy after his father. Let's name him Zachariah." Elizabeth stood up and said, "Not so. Not so." You know, that woman was too spiritual. Elizabeth, do you know Akubara? The guy in Luke chapter 1, she gave a full prophecy when she met Mary. When Mary met her, that scripture blesses me. The angel appeared to Mary and told Mary, "You will carry a child called Jesus." He said, go and meet your sister Elizabeth because she's already pregnant. Right? Now, when Mary visited Elizabeth, immediately she saw her. Mary had said nothing. And Elizabeth said, "Oh, welcome the mother of my Lord." He said, "Because the baby in my womb kicked when he saw." My God. My God. Then, some months after, remember previously, an angel had appeared to Zachariah and told Zachariah, "You have a child." We don't have any record. I don't know whether it happened. We don't have any record whether Zachariah ever related that experience with Elizabeth, or whether Zachariah told Elizabeth that the name of this child shall be called John. We don't know. But immediately it was time to name that boy. Elizabeth knew this is not Zachariah. Zachariah was a priest. This one is a prophet. He is not to live in the order of his father. So the whole kinsmen, you can imagine in Israel, this is Israel. Women don't talk those days. So all the men were gathered and said, "Mwa afi agabo Zachariah." She stood up and said, "Not so. Not so. He shall be called John." The kinsmen told her, "Out of all the people in our kinsmen, nobody ever bears that name, John." And the woman said, "It must be John." They now said, "Well, since we can't convince her, let us give Zachariah a paper to write the name." Zachariah wrote the same thing, John. That's when they knew that, this family, you don't play here. God will give you that kind of family. Train yourself with spiritual flows. Train yourself. I know somebody that shared a story, I think it was John Hagee or so. See, when they were about to have their grandchild, the Lord told them to give the child a name. The name meant life. So they didn't know why. Immediately they gave birth to the child, named the child. In less than 1 month, that child went through from kidney, small child, kidney, liver, brain, everything. They say she couldn't, she will not survive. He said all we warred with throughout that season was her name. "Father, you say she shall be called life. We speak life." They did that until that child is an adult today with children. The spiritual. Master it. This is the refreshing. He has so Christianity. The refreshing. The refreshing. That's what makes it sweet. Like I told you, my mother did not give birth to a fool. I don't do boring things. This is what makes it interesting. Say, "Mister, I see. I hear. I know. By the Spirit. I know by the Spirit. I speak by the Spirit." And this has always been like this. When I wanted to get admission, the same thing. The Lord showed me my school. Showed me my school. Showed me the compound. Showed me the compound. I remembered Edwin. I saw street lights. I saw it and I didn't see the full name of the school. If I told you this story, I saw some names and I saw the last name of the school was Technology. And I saw the compound. I got up. The first thing I said, they like, I snapped up from that short vision. I said, God, I don't want to go to IMTO. That's what I said to God. Now, nothing wrong with IMTO. I'll just tell you what I said. I said, "Well, I hope it's not IMTO you're showing me. I don't want to go to IMTO." And the Lord said, "No, it's not." Hallelujah. See, it's a suit. And thank God for light, for sight. I remember the first day, I've never been to a suit by then. The first day I came into, as I was getting into the school, that vision was playing before me. It was like deja vu. It's like, I've been here before. I've been here before. You know, my pastor told us a story. How that after they had their first child and their second child, they were trying to have another baby. And things were not working. Say they had in 1 year, they had 2 miscarriages. But that's why men of God suffer things that they may never tell you. He said him, he was okay. He was like, well, we've had the first, we've had the second. So one is a boy, one, the other is a girl. I love them. I'm okay with them. And the wife said one day, when we got together, you told me that the Lord told you that we'll have 3 kids, 1 boy and 2 girls. And sir, you taught me not to leave any place defeated. And he said, it's like they are preaching your message to you. And he said, He said, let's trust God. They engaged until the baby came. A few days before they gave birth to that baby, my pastor, I'm talking about teacher, I've seen things before they happened. My pastor said he saw the baby. He said, and one day, after the baby has come, mom was just beating the baby. He said, and he was sitting in his study, just looked across, and he saw that same exact image he had in his vision was right there. You know, you can live your life in a way that you always feel like I've been here before. Because in prayer, you get into places before you arrive there. Master spiritual flow. So every time I do it, let's pray, let's do this, let's blend it, flow with us. I never knew I was going to be a pastor when I started learning how to cast out devils, because I know that one day devil will enter my home and I'll cast him out. He says, why will he enter your home? He walks around like a roaring lion. When I got it, no. He says, if you are spiritual, devil cannot enter your home. That's not true. Jesus fasted for 40 days. On the last day of the fasting, the last day, the peak of the fasting, Satan came and tempted him. Think about that. Like the last, imagine 40 days of constant shakarabata on the last day. You thought that Satan would just be on the run. He was coming. So you enter your home. But that's not a threat. Is it? Is that a threat? Is that a threat? Master spiritual things. Yearn for the anointing. Yearn for increase in supernatural flows. Contend for the supernatural. Yearn to do more. This is the refreshing. This is the refreshing. Yearn for it. Yearn for it. I hear that in the Holy Ghost. Stop living an ordinary life. Stop living an ordinary life. Tell that to 3 persons. Say, stop living an ordinary life. Stop living an ordinary life. Stop. Stop living an ordinary life. It's time to live a supernatural life. Pastors, stop doing ordinary ministry. Stop doing ordinary ministry. Stop doing ordinary evangelism. Stop doing ordinary programs. I make bold to tell you, none of my meetings I hold are ordinary. Even this, at least you know this is not ordinary. And you know, some of you wonder, how come from one meeting to another, the same intensity, the same flow, sometimes mightier flows. Let me tell you one thing. One I was mentioning here last night, I just didn't want to see it, not to interrupt the flow. I sang, you know, and the Lord just dropped it in my heart. And you see, quality of your spiritual training will manifest in your ministry. You see all those things, the way I was singing here, that's how I pray normally. That's how my prayer life is. That's how I started. If you know me, the early days of my Christian work, that's how I used to do. That is what has transformed to what is becoming a global ministry. That thing I was doing in my bedroom. Master spiritual flows. I follow what I'm saying now. Master it. Stop doing ordinary Christianity. Stop laying empty hands on empty heads. Get your hand full. Get it charged up. This is the refreshing. This is the rest. If you do not pray in tongues at all, this night should be for you. I'm telling you. Don't get out of this building. I am saying to him, Father and Father, King of Glory, Jehovah, Shammah, Jehovah, Ebenezer. Oh God, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. It is given unto you. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That place where the Spirit will be poured from. You are seated there. You are a believer. Take it and pray. The word in the Greek is lambano. To receive. To receive. Lambano means to forcefully take what has been given. I gave you two words for receive. There's another word for receive in the Greek. But this lambano means to take what. It's just like I kept money here and I said, come and take it. It has been given already. Before you even came to the picture, that money has been there. You just can take. Where you are in Christ, power is there. Healing is there. Take it. Begin to flow in it. Don't live here without praying in tongues. Don't live here without learning to God. Don't live here. Make sure, one prayer for one thing I'm saying before close. Make sure that as I live in this city tonight, you can refer to Rates of Facts 2025 and know that in this meeting, this particular gift of God gained better expression in me. Make sure that as I was living here, I began to see things, to see in the spirit much more. Oh, if I remember Rates of Facts 25, what I can remember was that I began to see better in the spirit. I began to cast out devils the more. I just found out after that meeting, anybody I touched to be filled with the Holy Ghost, gets filled with the Holy Ghost very quickly. Let there be something, a spiritual flow that will get heightened in your life. That many years from now, you always refer to it. But it was in that meeting I began to speak in tongues. It was in that meeting that the power of the Spirit gained expression in me. I remember many meetings I went to, but some stand out. Some stand out. Some stand out. So my children will hear the story. They will hear. Go all out for the supernatural. Pay the price for the supernatural. Pay the price for it. That price is not money. Just yield yourself to it. Do what it takes. Fast. Pray. Consecrate. Reach out. There is so much available. Decide not to be ordinary anymore. Stir up the gift that is within you. This is the rest. Pray if you want to. Pray. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. access to heaven. Are you ready? Are you ready? In the name of Jesus. Take it. Take. Yes, yes, yes. Take. Pastors, are you ready? Pastors, are you ready? Do you want it over here? In the name of Jesus. Take. Of you here.
that will get into visions tonight. Some of you will even sleep off. Some of you will sleep off. Some of you will be awake. But there are 16 of you. In the course of this meeting, your eyes will be opening one. Sister, yes, you, Chumoke, yes, you. Upon you. You are one of those. You are one of those. You are one of those. Pastor Tony, the prophetic is getting mighty expression. Yes, Pastor Tony. I've always seen it. There is a prophetic grace. Very strong. Stop holding it back in your services. It's very strong. Yes. Yes. Joy. Yes, you. The anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Have come. Yes.
I saw a corporate flow open up. Walk around here. There is 5 minutes for this. Anyone that it is in your heart to hold hands with and pray, go hold the person and pray. Now, anyone, maybe somebody that will help pray with you or pray for you, anyone that is in your heart, go hold the person. Easy. I saw it open up. Hold the person. Pray out from your heart. Go ahead. I saw that corporate flow open up. Plates.
Da 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 da.
Hallelujah. Now listen. Listen. I'm sitting because I'm turning this meeting over to the Holy Ghost. I saw it in the spirit like this. Sense ministering to parents. But listen, for the sake of order, I'm going to give like 3 minutes to five. Pastors, ministers in this place. Pastors and ministers in this place, you have the next 5 minutes. You move around as you are led. And if you are led to receive impartation from any of them, you go towards them. This happened so fast. I saw it in the spirit. I just want to obey what I saw. I told you about plans and purposes and all of that. That's what I just saw in the spirit. So pastors and ministers, you go around as you are led. And if you are led to have any of them lay hands on you, you go meet them. Let it happen very quickly. Listen, don't hold back the flow. This is not about being humble or being reserved. I gave the open door. I opened it. Don't hold back the flow. 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 Thank you. Hallelujah. Of fresh air. Hallelujah. Listen to this. We're going to close in the next 10 minutes, but please, let's switch this meeting a little. God will begin to talk to everybody here now about different people. Get a partner. Get a partner. God will begin to talk to everybody here about their neighbor. God will begin to talk to everybody. And by your blood, you crushed principalities. Jesus, Jesus, and by your name, you established authority. Jesus, Jesus, the righteous. There's someone following this meeting online. You're wearing a blue top. And right there where you are, you can already feel a sensation of the Holy Ghost around you. And by the end of tonight, you're going to have encounters and dreams and visions that will not leave you the same. Wherever you are, I'm talking to you now. Let the hand of God come mightily upon you. In the name of Jesus. And the person following online, the same tangibility of this atmosphere, I bring it to that your room. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lagos Church, the Lord said I should say to you, the hand of God is upon you, and in the next 21 days your venue will be yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Get your neighbor, get a partner. God will begin to talk to us about us. God will put something in your heart about that brother or sister. It might be an idea, it might be a thought, it might be just a word of encouragement, but begin to give it now. There's an atmosphere strong here. Your ears are open. Your eyes are open. Your heart is open. You are hearing, you are seeing, you are knowing things. So the more spiritual person, the more person that is up to you, should go first. When he is done, the next person should take over. Be bold. There is, your eyes have opened. That is, you know. You can't be blind in this atmosphere. Trust the things you hear. Trust the things you see. Trust the things you are receiving. Trust that word of encouragement is coming to your heart. Give it to that brother. He needs it. Trust that word of direction coming. She needs it. Some of you, God will tell you that your brother or that person is sick. Minister the healing. There are words in this place. There is direction in this place. There's an atmosphere of the supernatural in this place. There are revelations. Utterance, edification, encouragement. Every one of you had a psalm, had a tongue, had a revelation, had a doctrine that is edifying here.
This is the move of the Spirit upon the house. Some of you will be amazed at the accuracy of your neighbor. You will be amazed at the accuracy of that's your ordinary neighbor. Say what you hear. Say what you perceive. These are to begin to trust the voice of God to you. His name is Jesus. So on the machine and a man and deliver on deliver and deliver. Oh, yes. Just sing them. Sometimes you'll be invited to sing along them. Your ears are open for that. You begin to step into gradually now the prophetic. Early days as a Christian, the Lord told you about something with the prophetic. It's now opening up gradually from here. You will see. You will hear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. one. Bless this one. Lay your hand mightily upon her. I see you somewhere causing a massive revival, and the zeal of the Lord will perform it. You so evidently as you begin to attract people to you. May you have so much miracles in your team or ministry that it will attract people. From now, you begin to see results you've never seen as it's working here. You begin to see eyes that see, ears that hear. Your eyes will open. From now, clearer manifestation of the Spirit. It will be so clear that people will question, was this the pastor we met last Sunday? It will be so clear. It will be so clear. I love you now and always, my eternal King. It's overwhelming. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have to close now. We have to close now. To 10 a.m.
adventures in the supernatural. New adventures in the move of God. New adventures in the anointing. New adventures in the anointing. The river, the desert is becoming a fruitful field. The fruitful field is becoming a forest. The desert is becoming a fruitful field. The fruitful field is becoming a forest, says the Lord of hosts.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.